Welcome to Thoreau's Leaves, a podcast dedicated to the celebrated and lesser-known works of Henry David Thoreau. I'm your host, M. Allen Cunningham. December 29th, 1853. All day a driving snowstorm, imprisoning most, stopping the cars, blocking up the roads. No school today. I cannot see a house 50 rods off from my window through, yet in midst of all I see a bird, probably a tree sparrow, partly blown, partly flying, over the house to alight in a field. The snow penetrates through the smallest crevices under doors and side of windows. P.M. Tried my snowshoes. They sink deeper than I expected, and I throw the snow upon my back. When I returned, 20 minutes after, my great tracks were not to be seen. It is the worst snowstorm to bear that I remember. The strong wind from the north blows the snow almost horizontally, and beside freezing you almost takes your breath away. The driving snow blinds you, and where you are protected, you can see but little way, it is so thick. Yet in spite, or on account of all, I see the first flock of Arctic snowbirds near the depot, white and black, with a sharp, whistle-like note. An hour after, I discovered half a pint of snow in each pocket of my greatcoat. What a contrast between the village street now and last summer, the leafy elms then resounding with the warbling vireo, robins, bluebirds, and the fiery hangbird, etc., to which the villagers, kept indoors by the heat, listen through open lattices. Now it is like a street in Nova Zembla, if they were to have any there. I wade to the post office as solitary a traveler as ordinarily in a wood path in winter. The snow is mid-leg deep, while drifts as high as one's head are heaped against the houses and fences, and here and there range across the street like snowy mountains. There is not a track leading from any door to indicate that the inhabitants have been forth today, any more than there is track of any quadruped by the woodpaths. It is all pure, untrodden snow, banked up against the houses now at 4 p.m., and no evidence that a villager has been abroad today. In one place, the drift covers the front yard fence and stretches thence upward to the top of the front door, shutting all in. And frequently the snow lies banked up 3 or 4 feet high against the front doors, and the windows are all snowed up, and there is a drift over each window, and the clapboards are all hoary with it. It is as if the inhabitants were all frozen to death, and now you threaded the desolate streets weeks after that calamity. Yet they are warmer, merrier than ever there within. At the post office, they ask each traveler news of the cars. Is there any train up or down? Or how deep the snow is on a level? The thoughts and associations of summer and autumn are now as completely departed from our minds as the leaves are blown from the trees. Some withered, deciduous ones are left to rustle, and our cold, immortal evergreens. Some lichenous thoughts still adhere to us. December 31st. The town and country are now so still, there being no rattle of wagons nor even jingle of sleigh bells, every tread being as with woolen feet, I hear very distinctly from the railroad causeway the whistle of the locomotive on the Lowell Road. For the same reason, in such a day as this, the crowing of a cock is heard very far and distinctly. I frequently mistake at first a very distant whistle for the higher tones of the telegraph harp by my side. The telegraph and railroad are closely allied, and it is fit and to be expected that at a little distance their music should be the same. There are a few sounds still which never fail to affect me. The notes of the wood thrush and the sound of a vibrating chord, these affect me as many sounds once did often, and as almost all should. The strains of the Aeolian harp and of the wood thrush are the truest and loftiest preachers that I know now left on this earth. I know of no missionaries to us heathen comparable to them. They, as it were, lift us up in spite of ourselves. They intoxicate, they charm us. Where was that strain mixed into which this world was dropped but as a lump of sugar to sweeten the draught? I would be drunk, 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 dead drunk to this world with it forever. He that hath ears, let him hear. The contact of sound with a human ear whose hearing is pure and unimpaired is coincident with an ecstasy. Sugar is not so sweet to the palate as sound to the healthy ear. The hearing of it makes men brave. These things alone remind me of my immortality, which is else a fable. I hear it, and I realize and see clearly what at other times I only dimly remember. I get the value of the earth's extent and the sky's depth. It, as it were, takes me out of my body and gives me the freedom of all bodies and all nature. I leave my body in a trance and accompany the zephyr and the fragrance. Thoreau's Leaves is read by M. Allen Cunningham and produced by Atelier 26 Books, publisher of Funny Ass Thoreau, the first ever compendium of Thoreau's humor. Visit us at atelier26books.com. You can support this podcast at anchor.fm/Thoreau's Leaves. Thank you for listening. So long for now.